Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is Sunday night. Richie, it's getting a lot more fun to do these at 7-0, 6, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, all the way up to 7-0, undefeated still. The Noles take down Duke inside of Doak Campbell Stadium, a lit Doak Campbell Stadium. I wasn't there, but I'm a little bit regretting that decision because it sure did seem like it was pretty lit. So, Richie, we'll get to that in just a minute. How's your weekend been?
Good, man. I kind of like the 7:30 kickoff. I was able to go out and play around a golf, Orange County National, where Brooks Koepka won back in March on the LIV Tour. But yeah, it was just a blast watching the game, and we'll get into all the ins and outs of it. But man, to your point, TJ, that stadium looked like it was on fire the entire night. A top 16 matchup in Doak at night under the lights. It really does not get much better than that.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Again, man, it through the TV, which I know that's a terrible way to say it, it seemed like things were pretty lit. It seemed like Doak got loud. And I know the first half, we'll talk about all of it here in just a minute, but I know the first half wasn't necessarily what we wanted, but that second half got loud and nuts and really impressive to see Doak kind of come alive. I think once the crowd was able to take a collective sigh or collect their breaths and thoughts and everything else, that place turned into a madhouse. That poor backup that went in, which I know there's a lot of Riley Leonard conversation going on, that poor backup that went in, just, you know, he had absolutely no chance. And so shout out to him for, you know, doing his very best. I totally get it. There's a lot of Riley Leonard talk about that we'll talk about, but let's break it all down. Let's talk about it. Double Fries No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee. Both their locations are 1818 West Tennessee and 2550 North Monroe. Appreciate them for their support. The Noles are 7-0 on the season. So, Richie, we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about some of it and break it down. But quick thoughts on the game and just kind of overall. Maybe we'll start from the beginning. Riley Leonard starts. We didn't think that would happen. We both kind of said that that would go the other way. But thoughts on Riley being in there and getting the start for Duke?
I think Mike Hogel probably wishes he did not start him. There's been some stuff going around like, oh, if Riley doesn't get hurt on a dirty play, it was not a dirty play, guys. That was a football play. And by the way, he was 7-for-16 for 79 yards, 4.3 per attempt, 0 touchdowns, 1 interception, 52.1 QBR. Listen, Riley Leonard is not making a difference in 18-point victory at that point. So I dismiss all of that. But yeah, I thought Duke, I said it in the pregame show Wednesday, they're a good football team, and I still believe that. And they only proved my point more, I thought, through three quarters. But the depth of Florida State just wore them down. And man, Florida State, that fourth quarter, it was something, because I was on my couch for three quarters, TJ, thinking like, oh my goodness, we cannot blow this. And then by the end of the game, I'm like, wow. That was pretty easy, you know, so it was nice. Yeah, man, there's some stuff to clean up if you're a Florida State fan like we are, but I was very happy with the overall performance. You covered a 14.5 point spread, and that spread, I think, was based on Riley Leonard not playing. So the fact that you still covered it, kudos to Florida State.
Yeah, it felt like I didn't bet on the game. I wanted to, but forgot. Because I'm busy and have three kids. Just blame it. The best thing about having three kids. Okay. That's not true. Kids are great. And I love my kids and I'm not complaining, but the best thing about having three kids though, at times, maybe that's the best way to say it, at times, is being able to blame them for stuff. Like, that is a really big positive. Oh, we can't do this. The kids are this. Oh, we can't do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, but yeah, like, it was good to cover the spread and basically do it all in the fourth quarter. And again, I think it just shows, and we'll talk a little bit more about the game here in a sec, but I think it also just, it's encouraging to know that Florida State isn't, like, I don't think they've put a full game together. And to be very fair to the Noles, how many teams have put full games together like 7 weeks in a row or 8 weeks in a row? Like, that is all, like, you're also asking a lot there, right? For, you know, the other team is really good too. You know, like, Duke was a top 15 team. And so I don't know. There were some officiating things. I'm going to do an officiating video this week. There were some other things kind of going on in that game. You know, Jordan had a pretty boneheaded error. But, you know, honestly, like if you take away Jordan's boneheaded error and maybe the big holding call that sprung their first touchdown, I mean, literally just changed two little things like that. We win this game like, what, 38-3? And I mean, there'd still be people complaining, Richie. Like, it just, that's the way it works. I get it. But I don't know. I'm not too pressed about beating a top 15 team by 15. So, all right, I'll let you do this, but Florida State did struggle against the run. Hate to go all ACC refs here, but, I won't have a take on this cause I'm doing a full length refs video where I really do break it down this week. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't see that, or so that you do see that, so you don't miss it. But I'll let you talk a little bit about the officials.
Yeah, I mean, the officials, oh, man. I just don't know where to start, TJ. They've been bad all season, and it's not against FSU. They're just bad in general, and I think we've seen that. If you watch enough ACC games, you'll see they're not out to get anybody. They're just not competent at their job, which is a problem. Especially with Florida State now being 7-0, we're five games, guys, from being in Charlotte for the ACC championship. I texted TJ and Harlan earlier. I already booked my my Airbnb for the ACC championship. I'm ready to go, guys. But yeah, it's been disappointing. But I did think Duke kind of dominated us in the run game early on, and that was disappointing because I thought for the most part we knew coming into the game whether it was, you know, Leonard or Berlin or whatever the backup's name is. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. They were not going to be able to throw the ball. And for them to be able to ground and pound it as much as they did was really disappointing to me. But at the halftime, man, you know, I think this is three straight games where Florida State has pitched a shutout in the second half. That shows Adam Fuller's making those adjustments. But if he can figure it out before halftime, this team really could go to the national championship. And I don't say that, you know, I truly mean that. They could go to a national championship game.
Okay, I'm going to do some research on this. And this might be a full-length video too. But I have a take on this. I think that Florida State's depth is so next level that, like, I don't want to say that they're hustling, right? Remember the movie White Man Can't Jump? Like, I don't think they're doing that. But I think that they are intentionally like rotating, being less aggressive, not blitzing as much, being a little bit more, I don't think vanilla is the right word because I thought they did some interesting stuff, but a little bit more vanilla. They didn't start running Travis until the second half. I think that Florida State knows, and I'm not trying to go all tinfoil hat here and say like this is some big conspiracy, Richie, but like, I don't know. Do you think this holds up? I think they know that they can wear teams down in the fourth quarter. And I think they know that they can get down. They can be down by 7 at the half. They can be down by 3 at the half against good teams like LSU and Clemson. And I understand that you want to dominate from the opening tip or the opening kick. It's football, right? I get that. But I think that Mike Norvell knows that if his team is close, they're going to be better in the second half. And that has proven itself over and over and over and over again this year. And again, I'm not saying they're throwing the first half. I'm not saying they're point shaving the first. I'm not saying any of that. But I think they know what they can do with their depth. And that's why you do see them dominate second halves. And you do see them absolutely blow people out of the water. I don't think Florida State's point shaven. I don't think they're trying to go into the half down by 3. But there is no concern about going to the half down a couple points. And I think that's because they know how good they truly are from top to bottom and how much more depth they have than all of these other teams.
Yeah, no, it's just a really good football team. You know, and they don't have a bunch of first-round picks like Georgia has or, you know, Alabama probably has, et cetera. But they are just a really good college football team. You have a lot of old, experienced college football players on this roster, TJ. And that is going to make a difference going, you know, through the rest of the schedule. You know, we got Wake next week, Pitt after that, and then Miami. Miami had a nice win. I'll shout them out. But yeah, I have no problem with that. but every game on the schedule, these last five games, you should win every single one of them. Even if you are not maybe the most talented roster that you play, I think only Miami might be more talented if you just look at strictly, you know, NFL projects or prospects. But yeah, man, I love this team. And there was a couple shakeups in the college football landscape, TJ. We'll talk about that probably at the end of the show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, all right, we mentioned this, but Florida State finally started running Jordan Travis. And that is when they seem to really open things up. We'll talk about this, but that 96 yard drive was, to me, it was not just a 96 yard drive. You realize
season saver.
Yeah, we had a massive fumble on that drive that I believe was Maurice Smith jumped on top of. So Shout out to him, because there were like three Duke guys around it, and I was like, oh god, they're getting that. We also overcame a pretty rough holding call to end up. It was a 1st and 20 that we end up converting on. Hakeem Williams had some big catches on that drive. And so, man, that wasn't just a 96-yard drive. You lost 7 yards on the fumble, and then you lost 10 yards on the holding. That was like a 107-yard drive. I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you back the yardage up that you lost.
117, yeah.
They actually, like, accounted for way more than like 113 yards on that drive. And they didn't get down. They didn't let that impact them. They were able to come back from it. And Jordan Travis stayed calm, cool, and collected under that pressure. And they did a really good job of not letting those little things impact them. How many times when you see a team cross midfield, they've already driven 60, you know, 50 yards, and they get a holding penalty, they end up having to punt, or they end up having to kick the long field goal or whatever. So I thought that was really, really, or you have the fumble, so then it's like 2nd and 16, and they still converted. Big play to Hakeem Williams again that got them in there. Kyle Morlock looked good. Jaheim Bell was really good. But they did a great job responding. And again, that drive, because once Riley was out and Florida State took the lead, I think you knew that the game was, I don't want to say over there because college football is crazy, but essentially the game was pretty much over at that. Like, Florida State wasn't going to give that lead back up. Defense came out immediately, got a stop. Shout out Shaheem Brown with that interception. But that drive, honestly, was like one of the drives of the year. Like, and probably the most important drive of the year so far. To go 96 yards, to face all kind of adversity during that drive, that was really special for Florida State last night.
And shout out the defense for getting the stop that allowed that drive to happen. Because Duke, honestly, probably should have kicked the field goal. But they went Mike Norvell when he was on his own 30 and went for it on fourth down. I don't hate it, but I hate the result. But yeah, that drive just was everything you needed. And again, when Jordan Travis is willing and capable of running, this offense goes to another level. It really does. It gets to a point where now you're having to consider, like, okay, the quarterback could potentially run it literally for an 80-yard touchdown, or he could hand it off, or he could throw it. Yeah. That makes this offense that much different, that much special. And I think this is a special offense. And hopefully against Wake Forest, I think we're 20-point favorites on the opening line that I saw. You know, you can get Jordan out by the end of the third quarter, early fourth. But, man, you are now in a position. Again, you are 5 games away from an ACC championship. And if you win the game in Charlotte, you are going to the college football playoff. That is a place where a lot of Florida State fans hoped we would be, but I don't think many predicted before the season. And this is a really good place to be because you've beat your toughest opponents. Florida and Miami, I think, will both be very tough opponents, but I think you should beat both of them.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, I told up again, ESPN's FPI isn't the end-all be-all for all metrics out there, but they do project things fairly well at times. So I totaled that up and took a look at what they had for Florida State going the rest of the way. They've got 92% against Wake, 89% against Pitt, 80.2% against Miami, still 99% against Alabama. That one's
what's that against moving. Miami again?
80.2.
Damn.
And then that went up 2.5% from last week. And then 82.8, so just call it 83% against Florida in the swamp. You got to think if that game was in Tallahassee, that would probably be like 92%. Yeah. Like probably worth like 10% or so. So yeah, at this point, you know, if you do win shares on that, I think that comes out to like 4.43 in the five games that you're playing. And if Florida State can beat Wake, that number is going to be over 4.5. And so you're literally going to be, you know, I think once you cross those halves, that's when you can start figuring it on the win share of a total of a whole nother point. Like at 4.4, they're basically saying you're going to win 4 out of 5. Maybe you get that fifth one. But once you beat Wake this weekend, which you can't flub up, but you're a 21-point favorite, you should win that pretty comfortably. You're going to be favored to go undefeated. And I don't know who ends up winning the other, you know, who, no, well, that's not the other division anymore, but I don't know who ends up going to the ACC championship with us, Richie. I think there's a lot of teams that it could be. I think chaos could happen and Miami could sneak in after beating Clemson.
Yeah, Virginia really shook things up last night.
Most likely. It did get rid of that Clemson rematch. There's no chance that happens now. Nope. So thank our lucky stars for that. But there's enough out there that could happen that could really be chaotic. You know, you look at like when is, you know, Duke plays Louisville this weekend. And so the winner of that is going to put themselves in the driver's seat. But man, both those teams play Miami, right? And so if Miami was to win both those, they would hand both those teams their second loss. They'd have the tiebreaker against them. North Carolina is sitting in a good spot because Miami would need to lose, you know, North Carolina would need to lose two more, but they play Duke, they play Clemson. It's feasible that North Carolina could drop a couple more games. So I'd say Miami is still pretty unlikely, which is a good thing. I really don't want to play them in a rematch that close together, especially. But yeah, I think that you saw Riley Leonard go, you know, not go back in there because I think there's a good chance that he ends up, I think Duke's got a good chance to get back in there. If Duke can beat Louisville this weekend, they've kind of got a cakewalk until they play UNC. Yeah. And man, UNC looked pretty beatable last night. I watched that UVA game and then I went back and watched the highlights of the first half that I missed. And man, if UVA's beating you in Chapel Hill, I promise you Duke can do some damage there. So
imagine Duke Carolina being a meaningful football game in November. That's just awesome when you think about it, because I love it personally.
Duke Carolina is going to end up being a more meaningful football game than Florida State Miami is for the ACC anyway. I think, you know, Florida State wins their next two games and has the ACC clinched. Obviously, I still think that Florida State Miami game is very meaningful for the college football playoff. It certainly is. So, all right, play of the game. Florida State a little bit down on themselves, right? Down by 10 points and Spawn, as Chris Fowler said about 18 times.
Spam, as far as I'm concerned.
So, yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. And I've seen the replay. I saw Hakeem, like, catching up to him, and I think Deuce, like, slowed up a little bit, like, with 30 yards to go. Like, I think he knew he had it. But, man, his speed was insane, and it was really, really cool. Really cool to see. You know, I think back, Richie, to the I think back to what was it, the play that he ended up getting chewed out by Norvell
in that Miami game last year.
Yeah. And then Mike went right back to him that very next play, which was really, really cool. His arc, right? His character arc, or whatever you want to say, to be able to get back into things. And, you know, I think Florida State probably wins the game either way, but to make that big of an impact and have that massive of a play was really special for him.
Yeah, man, I'm sitting on the couch. We're down 17-7. I'm looking at my wife, who's a Bama fan, and Bama had a similar game, right, where they were down most of the game, then she turned it on. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then out of nowhere, I'm like, oh, Deuce, oh, crap, there we go, touchdown, Florida State. Now it's 14-7, and I'm right back into it. And to your point, you go back to the Miami game last year, and Florida State was up 38-3 at that point. And Coach Norvell is just coaching him hard. And I don't know if you saw the clip they played from before the game yesterday on Saturday, but Mike Norvell basically said, like, we're going to need you on special teams. You need to make a big play. And for him to actually get that touchdown. And as soon as he, you know, found that seam, like, it was obvious nobody was catching him. Like, Hakeem was the closest guy to catching him, and it wasn't really close. It was just an amazing moment. And, you know, even after the game, Jordan Travis was talking about it. He's like, yeah, you know, he's not getting a lot of chances on offense, but he made the most of his chance on special teams. And that's a teammate mentality, because Duspan knows he's not going to be, you know, wide receiver 1, 2, 3, or 4 right now, but he could make a difference on special teams. If he continues to do that, that's kind of like Kermit Whitfield was, right, in 2013. Obviously, we had, you know, Kenny Shaw, Rashad Green, Kelvin Benjamin, Nick O'Leary were your top four receivers, even though Nick was a tight end. But Kermit Whitfield said, hey, I can make a difference on special teams. And to see Duspan do that, that was awesome.
Well, it just speaks to the culture, right? And it speaks to, like, the true buy-in that the you know, Mike Norvell installs, that the team has. Yeah, I know, and Deuce has gotten in a little bit and been able to mix it up some, but, man, to go back there and be able to make that kind of impact and literally change the game. Like, you know, Florida jokes about, like, their, you know, like, their game changers and stuff, but, like, to literally be able to go in and change the game when your team needed it most. And I think a lot of times what you see is, like, when Deuce got corrected last year on the sideline and everybody was watching it, you know, his career at Florida State could have gone one of two ways. Like, I think he could have pouted and been frustrated and annoyed. And this is not a shot at anybody else, but, like, could have just transferred out. Could have said, like, hey, I'm out of here. Like, this isn't going my way. I'm not getting the reps I wanted. I transferred in before you guys had all these other superstars like Keon and Hakeem and everybody else. But he didn't, right? He bought into the culture. He bought into what Mike Norvell was selling. It's honestly a lot of why this team is as good as they are. And it was cool to see. It was cool to see him have a pretty special moment that, again, I think we end up winning anyway. But, man, the offense wasn't doing a lot. You know, like, there's a chance that, like, we don't end up. So, all right, Richie, let's watch this. I've got the radio call of this. Let's watch the everybody, if you guys haven't seen this, Seminole Sports Network, you should be able to see this, Richie. If not, then you have to watch it later and tweet your thoughts. But you should be able to see it.
Here is Ham in the boot, right to left. Returnable for Span. 2 yard line. Far hash. 10, 15, 20 up the middle. 25. Cuts to the outside. He finds an opening. Span across midfield. A foot race. 30, 20. You're not going to catch him. Trot in there, baby. 98 yards. And a house goal for Deuce. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown.
Love me some Jeff Goham.
That's what I'm talking about, St. Petersburg, Lakewood.
St. Petersburg, Lakewood, let's go. Shout out.
Way to make a play when you get an opportunity. I was waiting for Span. We talked about him, the threat that he was back there returning the football. I'm going to tell you what, young man. That young man is a treasure. Used to be a quarterback in high school, got changed into the receiver spot. He's done a great job of trying to get out there on the field and make plays, but that was one of the biggest plays of his career right there.
Special teams comes through for the Garnet and Gold. Fitzgerald's extra point is up, and it is good when you needed it.
So right before that happened too, I forget what the play was, but Essen of the Tallahassee Democrat tweeted something about, like, special teams matter, and I just can't remember what it had to do with. But I remember, like, right after that, Deuce took the touchdown back, and I quoted it, and I like Essen, so, like, it certainly wasn't me, like, giving him crap or whatever. But, you know, he tweeted something about special teams matter, and then Florida State made a special teams play. And when your offense was struggling to get the ball moving, when your defense was struggling, oh, it was, you know, the punter, Duke's punter put the ball, like, way, you know, picked it super deep, and they end up making a nice play to pin Florida State deep. We had the pick six, and then, yeah, that's when that happened. So Duke's punter gets a lot of credit for that pick six, and the block in the back that was kind of a phantom ref call. So good job, refs. But a big special teams play that kind of turned things around. So, all right, save us from this, Michael. Let's go.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. No
Great win. I think that Duke wouldn't have scored as much without the refs not calling all the blatant holds. All right, so I talked about the defense a little bit on Twitter today too, Richie. And so we'll talk about this, and then we'll wrap up. Richie's got a really tough day tomorrow. You guys pray for him. But Florida State's defense this year, like if you look at the net of what their defense has done, it's been pretty ridiculous. If you look at what the net first team defense has given up, they give up 17 points against LSU, zero in the first half, or in the second half, sorry. They go up 6 points to Southern Miss as a net. Now, they gave up 13, but they scored seven. Gave up 22 to BC. That's kind of the stinker. Gave up 17 against Clemson, 24, but they scored as well. 10 to Virginia Tech, 3 to Syracuse, and 10 to Duke. And if you want to get – now, they actually got 20 to Duke, but one was on the pick six. And then the other, Florida State turned the ball over in their own territory. The defense got a three and out, and then Duke kicked a field goal. So there's just no way I can blame that 3 points on the defense. Like, if you pitch a three and out in your own territory and you just your offense puts you in a bad spot, like, that 3 points on the offense to me. And so, man, if you really got nitpicky, yeah, if you took that holding, that run on the holding away, the defense doesn't give up anything last night. I mean, they were I know that the defense is not perfect, and they play bend don't break. And I know people hate bend don't break, but this defense has been good, Richie. They're, you know,
really good.
Brendan put it out this week, but they're the only team in the country that has a top 15 offense, defense, and special teams unit. And you can win a lot of games being top 15 in all of those. Has the offense been as elite as we wanted? Are they scoring 60 a game like we all wanted? No. That streak of 30 straight points is up to 13, though. Is the defense as elite as we wanted? I don't know. They're giving up 12 points a game. Like, what more do you guys want?
Exactly. Yes.
You know, is the special teams as elite as we wanted? I don't know. Fitzgerald ain't missed a freaking kick yet. Mastromano's doing a great job, and so is Deuce Spann. And Keon Coleman's absolutely electric at punt return. Like, the complaining that happens about this team is, you know, absurd to me. And so here I am crying like a baby about it. But I don't know, man. It's tough for me to nitpick too much. But on the defense specifically, I think they've been really good this year. I feel bad for the Adam Fuller haters because it's getting – I don't know that I'm ready to put Adam Fuller in elite defensive coordinator position or category just yet.
He's very good. Very good.
It's getting tougher and tougher when you look at what Florida State's defense is doing week in and week out to complain about Florida State's defense. If I've got a bigger – like, okay, here you go, Richie. Bigger complaint this year, the offense or the defense?
Honestly, probably the offense, which is crazy.
I agree.
Because we were coming in, we came into the season thinking we'd be putting up 45, 50 points a game. This defense has been phenomenal. They really have been. Like, I know that Boston College game is going to stick in everybody's minds for the longest time. But every other game besides that, this defense has basically dominated them. Look at what Jaden Daniels has done every game outside of Florida State. And then look what he did against Florida State. This Adam Fuller defense has been really damn good, TJ.
It's, you know, again, it's been don't break. Florida State's gotten opportune plays at huge times. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've been really good. And, again, they might give up 40 to Miami and 40 to Florida, and then I'll fire everybody, right? Like, I'll fire people then. But until they do that,
I'll get pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. Until they do that, like, I don't know. It's hard for me to complain about Fuller. We talked about this a little bit at the beginning, the crowd, you know, a lot of you guys are commenting right now and in, you know, how excited you were with the crowd. The crowd was phenomenal. Really, really, really good stuff. If you were there, hopefully you don't have a voice, and that's why you're having to type here on the chat, because the crowd was great. This Prize Picks thing, are you updating us on this, or were you, or no? Or did it just copy over?
Well, I just updated the results, so I'm not sure what we picked. You know, terrible podcasting, but
I'll tell you what I picked. All right, let's do it. So I took the, all right, so Jordan Travis, listen, if you don't have the Prize Picks app, there's an NFL game going, there's a bunch of them going on right now, but there's one tonight. Go download the Prize Picks app and use our code DFNS. Get $100 up to 100% match up to $100, 100% match up to $100. Sheesh! Learn the ad read. If you already have an account with them, go create a new email and sign up under that one so that we get the credit. All right, God bless you guys. Jordan Travis 253.5. I think we all took the over there.
Yeah,
I think Harlan took the over on everything.
Yeah, Harlem was over on everything. I Riley took the Leonard, under on Riley Leonard, so that was on me, unfortunately.
Yeah, I took under on Riley Leonard. I didn't think he was playing. Keon Coleman, I think I took his over. I think I took him at a touchdown, but he went under. He didn't score a touchdown, right?
Yep.
Benson, 75.5. I took the over. He went under. What'd you take?
I took the under as well, I believe.
Good work. You won that. Coleman, 70.5 receiving yards. I took the over there too, but he went under.
I took the over as well. Yeah.
Duke's total yards. I took the under on that. I got that right.
I think I took the over and I was pissed because they didn't get close to that, to be honest.
Yeah, we did a good job on that. And it also, like I said, they scored 10 points, you know?
Yeah.
And three of them came on a short field. And then obviously you don't get any points on the pick six. Okay. What about the, playoff contender check-in? Did you watch Ohio State, Penn State? Were you home in time for that?
So I did not see that. No, I was playing golf. Literally, why? Like our tee time was as they kicked off.
Okay, that game stinks. We're beating both those teams. I think Michigan is a legit threat, but Ohio State doesn't worry me at all. Kyle McCord stinks, and you know, Marvin Harrison is great. Marvin Harrison Jr. Their defense is pretty good, but both the quarterbacks in that team were terrible. I think they're like, I'm not worried about either one. I'd love an Ohio State first round matchup. I mean, I'd love if that happened. I don't think they can beat Michigan. I don't think they go undefeated the rest of the way. So we're not going to get that, but I'd love Ohio State.
I would too. Yep.
Tennessee, Bama. Tennessee, man, masterclass in blowing a game. They had it, man, like up two scores on the road. Had to settle for some field goals. I know it's tough. I know it's Bama. I know that it's hard to get touchdowns against them. Bama beats number 17 Tennessee, shows that they can come back. Milroe looked pretty good at times in the second half, right? I don't think that they're great by any means, but they're still a team that you cannot take lightly. I'm assuming that Bama's back up into the top 10 now after winning that. They don't necessarily have a very tough road to hoe the rest of the way.
They got to beat Georgia.
SEC, I know.
They have to.
Well, I'll play Georgia in the SEC championship.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like I expect them to go to the SEC championship. I think LSU's, I mean, certainly clash of styles there.
LSU could beat them though, man. That's a fun game. That's a really fun game.
LSU's gonna try and just outscore them. And last year, Bama could score with people. I don't think they can this year, but no. We'll see. you know, it's Alabama's 9, LSU's 15. ESPN gives Alabama about a 62% chance to win that game. So we'll see. I kind of like LSU in it.
Is that in Tuscaloosa?
It's in Tuscaloosa.
Okay. Yeah. Give me Bama for that one.
I think I like LSU to outscore them. That will probably knock Alabama out of the playoff. Unless, you know, obviously if they win, they'll stay in. But I'm still not that impressed with Alabama. I think Tennessee is just kind of like a masterclass, you know, choke artist. But Alabama, LSU, 2 weeks from yesterday. Then they got to go to Kentucky. That's not easy. I think they'll win, but got to go to Kentucky. Got to go to Auburn at the end of the year, and then UGA to finish it up. UGA, they were off this week, but I don't think UGA is a lock for the playoff either, just for what it's worth. Now, they very well may win, but UGA's got to play Florida this weekend without Brock Bowers. I think they're much better than Florida. I'm not trying to say that UF's going to win, but listen to this slate. They got to play Florida, Missouri, Ole Miss, and at Tennessee. That's four tough games. I mean, Florida's not, you know, they Florida's 5-2. Like, I'm not trying to hype them up unjustifiably, but like, I don't know. Florida put up some point. Like, Georgia's not looked great. I mean, I hope they beat them by 40. I'm going over to Allie's house to watch it. It's going to be great to watch. I texted her this week and I was like, I love watching the Florida game with you guys because you guys stink. And so I love watching you guys lose. But so I'll be there cheering for Georgia, but tough one. If Georgia, and again, they had the whole conversation and I did a video on this. So I don't want to talk about it a ton, but they had the whole conversation of like, would an undefeated Florida State get in for sure? The answer is yes to that, but I'm not sure UGA and these other teams go undefeated. So we'll see. Maybe Michigan's the only one that I'm worried about, but that's our playoff. Oh, and USC completely out.
Yeah, they're done. Yep.
They're out, man. I'm not super impressed with Washington either, just for what it's worth. Like, they barely.
No, 15-7 with one offensive touchdown. No, not impressed at all.
Yeah. Oh, Kenny kind of got screwed there at the end too. So, all right. Do you have any shout outs or anything you want to give, Richie?
Yeah, shout out. I think I've said on this show before, the first Florida State game I ever went to was 1995, Florida State versus Duke in Orlando. My dad took me. He passed away, but yesterday was his birthday. So I loved seeing Florida State do what they did to Duke. You know, all these years later, I'm dating myself, TJ, but it was just a special night for me.
Yeah, no, happy birthday to Pops in heaven. Man, I love seeing families and stuff go. Like, my mom texted me. She was up at the game. I didn't even know they were going. But she went to the game. And then so they had, like, pretty bad seats. And I was like, well, you should have told me. Like, I could have given you mine or something. But I gave mine away to somebody else. But anyway, so shout out to, you know, the family. I saw a bunch of pictures of family. And I saw Harlan was there with his dad and brother. You know, it's love cool to see people kind of bond over that and enjoy it. So, hey, look, we got a ton of content coming this week. I've already literally recorded two videos. One will be hating on the refs and ESPN. You guys are going to love that. And then one is kind of just, you know, Florida State's path to the playoff and why ESPN's full of crap on what they were talking about at the end of the day the other day. Listen, Richie, I don't know if you can see this or not, but here, I'll show it real quick. But, oh, you know what? I already took it out. Sorry. We'll have to look at it later. But, so make sure you're subscribed. If you're commenting, I know you're subscribed at this point because Harlan's like a wizard over there and not letting the non subscribers comment anymore. So shout out to Harlan, but appreciate you guys for hanging out. Richie, Harlan, thank you guys for hanging out for a few minutes tonight. We'll have a ton of stuff this week. Florida State's going to beat the heck out of Wake Forest. They're going to cover the spread. Go ahead and lay the 21 points now. And we'll have fun covering it along the way. So thank you guys for hanging out. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.